Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody who's here in the sanctuary. Good morning, everybody who's participating via Facebook. Good morning, everybody who is participating via YouTube. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. Amen. Amen. A Bible-believing church located in West Philadelphia. Our pastor is Jonathan E. Ford. Amen. And this morning, we are not going to delay the word. Amen. So I'm going to read our scripture. Then after that, I'm going to pray. And then we are going to have our pastor come up. Amen. For the scripture this morning, I'm going to be reading from the book of Mark. I'm going to be reading verses 23 and 24. As soon as I can get to them. And if we could stand for the reading of God's word. Let me make sure I got my stuff together, my technology. Mark 11, 23, 24. I knew that didn't look right. I changed it from Mark to Matthew. That didn't look right. Okay. So Mark chapter 11, I'm going to read verses 23 and 24. Amen. Amen. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt it in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So we've heard God's word to prepare us. Now let us prepare our hearts and minds in the sanctuary. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us here this morning, be it electronically or physically. We thank you, O Lord, that despite all that is going on in this world, your word remains true. Your word we can always hold on to. Thank you, Christ Jesus, for no matter what has been going on in this world, you have said, peace, be still. Hallelujah. And we can hold on to that promise. Peace, be still. Encourage our faith this morning, Christ Jesus, that as you said in your word, mountains would be moved because we believe in you, Christ Jesus. So we thank you this morning for blessing us with our lives, with our family, with your protection, with your word, and blessing us with your sacrifice. Lord, this morning, bless our pastor to deliver your word. That, Lord, he would deliver your word in a way that our ears can hear and our hearts could receive. Prepare us right now, Christ Jesus, that wherever we are sitting, we would be attentive, that you would write the word on the fleshy tables of our heart, a word that transforms and renews our mind and increases our faith. We thank you, we love you, and we honor you, Christ Jesus. Touch us this morning. Let us be edified. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Now, if we would all stand and honor our pastor as he comes to the pulpit, Elder Jonathan Ford. Amen.
Good morning and welcome to everyone this Sunday morning. Thank you for being here. And we're going to prepare to go into the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of St. Mark, the 4th chapter. And there we will find the parable of the sower. We're also going to add to the witness out of the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 10th chapter and the second verse. So if you're there, Mark 4 and 1, and it says, and again, he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. It said the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Can we hand out some Bibles? Thanks, Doc. Good looking. Verse 2, and it says, and then he taught them many things by parables. He said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. The birds of the air came, and they devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. Because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7, some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Verse 9, he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now verse 10, it says, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. He said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear, not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. So he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all or any parable? You don't get this one, it's a wrap. You don't need to come next time. If you don't get this one, it's a wrap. Because this is the key to every other parable I'm going to teach. Do I got your attention yet? The sower sows the word. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away that word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time. And afterwards, tribulation, persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately, they stumble and fall. Now, these are the ones that are sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in chokes out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Are you with me this Sunday? Look at someone say, we just keep it at 100. That's for all the young people. We keep it at 100. My dad don't know what I'm talking about. All the young people know what I'm talking about. If you under 40, you at least know that. Look, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I just hear the young kids say that. We keep it at 100. Go to the witness, Matthew 10:32. Matthew 10:32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Verse 34. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. May the Lord bless the reading of God's word. This morning I want to preach from the subject, a hearing heart. A hearing heart. And in this story, a hearing heart is depicted as good ground. I'm giving you the sermon right up front. I'm not even wasting time. I'm just giving it to you. A hearing heart is depicted in this parable as good ground. Father, let your seed fall this morning on good ground. Father, give us hearing hearts that are able and willing to receive the word of God. And let that word, that seed, germinate in the soil of our soul and cause it to spring forth and bear much fruit. Cause us as your people to bear 30-fold, some 60-fold, and yet some 100-fold. We ask now for an understanding of this parable, so that we might perceive all things hidden in the word of God. This we ask in Jesus' name, for his sake and glory alone. Let the people of God say amen, amen, amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Well, as many of you may know, and hopefully you know, this month we formally launch our Urban Garden Initiative. There is a host of activity taking on right behind our church in our new garden. And in support of this initiative and all that's going on, many of you were on the Zoom call yesterday. If you didn't, please go to the Turning the Tide website to get access to what you missed. We're going to be opening the garden with classes the fourth Sunday in this month. So you got all month to get out here and get your hands in the garden. And so in support of that initiative and all of the people working in and volunteering, as your pastor, I'm going to be preaching a series of sermons for the rest of this month under the banner or under the title, Sermons from the Soil. Sermon from the Soil. Now, when the Holy Spirit gave me that, what I wanted to do was actually dress up like a gardener, a farmer, like I am today. And I literally wanted to preach from the garden, the soil out in the garden. That's what I wanted to do. But the AV team told me, hey, our camera is fixed. We don't have a movable camera. It's mounted in the ceiling. And it only points at the pulpit. So unless you want to knock out this wall, they're not going to see you in the soil in the garden. I said, okay, all right. But I didn't let that stop me. I said, okay, if I can't preach out back in the garden, then I'm going to have to find a way to bring the garden from out back into the pulpit, right? So my first idea was, let's dig up all that dirt and let's throw dirt all over the pulpit. Then I could preach a sermon from the soil. But after a good night's rest, I thought better of that. I said, if I do that, I probably won't be the pastor the next Sunday. I thought about it. I said, get the guys, get the dirt in, and then I'm just going to preach, and I'll stomp all over the dirt, and I'll preach from the soil. But then I said, that'll probably be my last Sunday preaching. So I said, all right, let me get this out of my hands and get it into somebody's hand who can do something with it. And so I'm very appreciative this Sunday morning for Aaron and Marcy Abrams. I'm grateful for Lynn and David, for Kim and Norm, for the girls Jessica and Logan. I gave them my idea and all my stops and starts, and they finally gave me the best advice I had all week. They say, Pastor, let us handle it. You go somewhere and work on your sermon, and we'll figure out how to get the soil or the garden into the book. So that's what you see here. All this stuff is grown out of the soil of the garden. All right? You see where I'm going? And I'm going to be preaching from this soil every Sunday, sermons from the soil. You with me on that? Good, good, good. Okay, good. Good. Let's get to the Word of God. How many people are familiar with this parable, this story? The sower and the seed. Very, very familiar passage. Not only is it a familiar passage for the hearer, it's also a very familiar passage for preachers. A lot of preachers start preaching out of this passage. They really start preaching. Because in many ways, it's self-explanatory. In many ways. I preached a sermon out of Mark, I preached this Texas and Matthew, Luke, I preached it, all that. So, and oftentimes when I come to this, because I've taught and preached out of it so often, immediately in my mind, I don't even have to think, it just pops in my mind. Sower, seed, soil. If you get that, you can preach this sermon. That's what the sermon, that's it. Boom, 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 boom. And it's right. 3 points. Sower, seed, soil. And you can preach this sermon. I mean, turn the church upside down. Now, I want to share something with you that's interesting. And while that is an accurate way to preach this sermon, it is also a very sophomoric way to preach this sermon. And by sophomoric, I mean it is a very immature way to preach this sermon. It's accurate. It's accurate. But it's young. It's light. That's why a lot of young preachers preach it. Right? And so I thank God that as I was going to this, the Holy Spirit began to mature my understanding of this text. Because I was set. When I looked at it, I said, I got it. Sower, seed, soil. It's going to be a light study week. I've preached this before. I got it. The Holy Spirit said, no, look a little deeper. You've been missing the weightier part of the sermon. So he challenged me. He said, preach the weighty part. There's a part in there you're missing. This is a three-part sermon. He talks about the sower and the seed in the beginning. There's a middle, right? And then he talks about the parable again. He gives, it's a three-part sermon. And the weightier part, some theologians like to call this a sandwich text, because the weighty part is in the middle. This is a parable. All right. So I'm going to start today's sermon by starting in the middle. You with me? Good. Here it is. Let's get to it. We're short on time. Here we go. We'll start right at verse 9. All right. Verse 9 said, and he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The most important thing in this parable is not the sower. Most important thing in this parable is not the seed. The most important thing in this parable is not the soil. The most important point in this parable is hearing. Right? Jesus said, after the parable, he stood up and said, on the boat, listen, he that has an ear, let him what? Hear. You following me? This is the important part of the whole parable. Your ability to hear. Are you with me? So here we go. Then in verse 10 he says, now this is important, stay focused. This is the middle. This is all the important stuff. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. So first, let me deal with this parable. What is a parable? We hear it. We know it. We hear it all the time. What is a parable? Here it is. Parable is a common teaching method in Judaism, which Jesus also employed. And its purpose is to conceal the truth from unbelievers while explaining it to his real disciples. Right? This is a parable. And this is what he's giving them a parable. And this is what a parable is. It is designed to conceal the truth from unbelievers while explaining it to his real disciples. Okay? So the real meaning of the story is not what you think. It's a parable, okay? You with me? Now look, here it is, verse 10. So you got that. Now verse 10, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. Now write this down. This is significant. Real revelation occurs when you are alone with God. I don't know if I'll say anything more profound than what I just said. Read verse 10. But when he was alone, not with the crowd, not with the multitude, not out on the boat, not with everybody in church, but when Jesus was alone, the text said the 12 and the others who believed in him came to him when he was what? Alone. If I don't say anything else, as your pastor, this is your ticket today. Real revelation happens when you and God get alone. Listen, real revelation, the weightier part, does not occur on Sunday in the church with everybody in the house. Are you with me this Sunday? The beginning of the chapter said he preached to the whole multitude, but only those who really loved him and were genuinely interested in the parable came to him alone. And then this is what you do with God when you get alone. Look at the text. They asked him. They didn't get together with Jesus and say, hey, Peter, you tell us what the parable means. Peter was there, but they didn't ask Peter. James and John was there, but they didn't ask James. And when they got alone with God, they asked Jesus, what is the meaning of this parable? That is when real revelation occurs in the heart of the believer. When you are alone with God and you ask the Holy Spirit, you tell me what this really means. Are you with me this Sunday? Now look, if this is too heavy, tell me. And I'll go back to sower seed and soil. If that's all you can handle, that's all I'll give you. But if you're ready for a heavier word, a weightier message, if you got it, say, I got it. Good, okay. I'll keep going. Real spiritual growth occurs when you get alone with God in private and ask Him to reveal the truth of His word to you. Here it is, verse 11. And so He said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those that are outside, all things come in parables. Are you with me? Get this. Listen to what I'm saying. Any and everything pertaining to the kingdom of God is a mystery to the human mind and to the human heart. I'll say it again. Any and everything pertaining to the kingdom of God is a mystery to the human mind as well as the human heart. Meaning, it cannot be understood through human intelligence or human effort. You may not realize it, but I'm preaching now. Anything about God, everything about God, none of it can be grasped, understood, held on to by human effort. The kingdom of God does not work that way. That's why Paul said, I count it all dung. Every degree I got, every achievement I ever had, he said I count it as worthless because I cannot obtain the kingdom of God through that means. Are you with me? Why can't you get it that way? Why? Because it comes as a mystery. Watch this. It comes as a parable. Meaning the real truth of it is not obvious. Are you guys with me? But I'm glad Jesus says in John 14:26, he says, but when the comforter comes, that's what you were talking about this morning, Pop, which is in fact the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Here it is. Here's the kicker. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have spoken unto you. Not your memory, not your ability to recall facts, but the work of the Holy Spirit steps over the human intelligence and it begins to work in the heart, in the soul of a man, and it is deep speaking unto deep. It is the everlasting talking unto everlasting. Are you with me this Sunday? And it cannot be comprehended through human intelligence or human effort. Are you with me? Here it is. I'm going to make it plain to you. Here it is. Without the presence or power of the Holy Spirit, get this. This is what it is. Whatever we hear about God goes in one ear and literally comes out the other. Why? Because the human mind cannot perceive the things of God. It's not built to. Therefore, it can't. So anything about God we ever hear literally goes in one ear and comes out the other. The only way to grasp God, the kingdom of God, the Son of God, the Spirit of God, is you need to have the Holy Spirit alive and operating inside of you, so that when the Word of God comes into your hearing, the Holy Spirit snatches it out of the atmosphere before it is dispersed, and it begins to apply it or give you understanding in your spirit. I told you this is a little bit heavier this Sunday. If you guys want to shout, all you got to do is let me know, Pastor, we ready to shout. And I'll jump back and I'll go sower seed soil. And we'll dance out of here. But if you're ready for a weightier word, this is the meaty part of the parable. Not the sower seed and soil. This is the meaty part. Are you with me? The only way to have the Holy Spirit in you is to accept Jesus Christ, God's Son. Because Jesus said, if you get me, you heard what he said. He said, I will send, the Father on my behalf will send you the Holy Ghost. And then everything you've ever heard me say about the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit will begin to teach you exactly what I meant. Because without the Holy Spirit, it's just a mystery. It's just a parable. Are you with me? If you got it, say, I got it. Here it is. Here it is, verse 12. Here it is. Given to you to know the mysteries. But to everyone else, it's just a parable to them. So that, here it is, seeing, they may see and not perceive. Right? In one ear, out the other. Hearing, they may hear, but not understand. What do you do with stuff you don't understand? You get rid of it. I don't understand it anyway. Whatever. Lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven. Here Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah and clearly affirms that the ability to comprehend spiritual truth is a gracious gift from God. God sovereignly bestows this precious gift on the elect or chosen of God. Even if you wanted to understand the things of God, you can't. The only way you can do it, God has to choose you for it. And a sign that he has chosen you is that he places his spirit, watch this, or his interpreter. Maybe that's too deep. Maybe it's too heavy. Too heavy, Aaron. I'm sorry. I'll keep it high. But are you with me on this? Here he quotes Isaiah, and Isaiah said this hundreds of years before Christ came, that the ability to comprehend spiritual truth is a gracious gift from God that he sovereignly bestows on the elect or chosen of God. Watch this. Who are the elect and chosen of God? Those that what? Come to Jesus when? Alone. Those who come to God alone and ask God. Watch this. I heard what the pastor said on Sunday, and it was good. But now, Holy Spirit, I need you to tell me the real truth of what he said. My job as a preacher is not to explain the truth. My job is to give you the truth. Whatever. Maybe you'll get it. Maybe you won't. Here it is. Weighty stuff. Here we go. Every time a preacher preaches the word of God, get this. This is heavy stuff. Every time a preacher preaches the word of God, it does one of two things. It either draws a person closer to God in heaven, or it pushes them further away from God and toward the devil and hell. I'm sorry I had to say it, but it's the truth. That's my job is just to tell what you do with it. What you do with it after this is up to you. I told you, my job is to just tell you the truth. If the Holy Spirit is not in you, it's going to go in one ear and out the other. And you'll go home saying, man, I don't know what the pastor was preaching about today. He had on overalls and was sweating, and I still don't know what he talked about. And that's fine. But to those that have been chosen, who are willing to go to God alone and say, Holy Spirit, now you do what only you can do and reveal the truth of your word in my soul. Here it is. I got a witness. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Listen to this. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. This is in your Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. This is in your Bible that you have in your hand right now. 1 Corinthians 1. The message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. That's the whole multitude. He preached to the whole multitude, and for the majority of them, it was foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God himself. What was foolishness to this guy can be power to the next guy. If the Holy Spirit is alive, well, and working in their ground. Good God, I'm going to get it. Whatever. Either you get it or you don't. Here it is. The word of God, in context of this story, parables of Jesus. The word of God doesn't mean anything to them. It doesn't do anything for them, nor does it have any effect on them. But to those of us who are being saved, if I had time, I'd work that being saved, but that's way too much for a Sunday. But to those of us that are in process, the word of God changes us, rearranges us, transforms us. So much so that we begin to bear much fruit, a spiritual harvest under God, some 30, some 60, someone, yeah. Woo! That word. When it gets in the heart of the believer, it changes everything about you.
But when it hits the ears of an unbeliever, it has no effect at all. Now get this. Here's the sermon. Here's the sermon. Get this. Believers, the elect, the chosen of God, do not change because they want to change. Raise your hand if you ever know somebody said they were going to change something. And a month later, what? They want, and I don't think they're lying to me when they say it. I really believe they want to change. But they can't. Believers, the elect chosen of God, do not change because they want to change. They change because the power of God is working in them, on them, and through them to produce the spiritual fruit that God requires out of their ground. So again, it is not human effort, human ability, human willpower, but it is the power of God working both to will and to do according. Here it is. I got to get rid of this sermon. Here it is. Here it is. Verse 13. Here it is. Here's the whole sermon. Here it is. Verse 13. So he said to them, do you not understand this power? Watch this. He said, how long have you guys been listening to me preach? Every Sabbath, I go to the synagogue. I take the scrolls. Monday through Friday, I'm walking through your towns and cities, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, healing those affected of leper, and teaching the word of God. And yet, you cannot understand. He didn't say all parables. He said this parable. Here it is. The understanding the parable of the sower was to be key to the disciples' ability to discern the meaning of Jesus' other parables about the kingdom of God. You know what he's saying? I told you at the beginning. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you. And the reason I'm going to tell you, if you don't get this parable, it's a wrap. If you don't get this parable, no need to come to the synagogue. No need to come find me on Wednesday night when I'm preaching Bible. It doesn't matter. If you don't get this one, is the key. If you get this one, the kingdom of God is yours. Here it is. Here it is. You ready for it? Here it is. Here's the point of the parable. Listen. Discipleship, which means accepting and following Jesus, is not what we can make of ourselves. It's not discipleship. Just because you dress up and look like a church person don't mean you really are. Here it is. Discipleship, accepting, following, is not what we can make of ourselves, but rather what God can make of us when we allow the sower and the seed to fall in our ground and produce a supernatural, which means abundant, spiritual, which refers to godliness, harvest, which means increase in the kingdom of God. So it's not what you do that matters. What matters is only what God can do when his word gets in our ground. Because God, who by the way is the real God, can do something in your ground, in my ground, that causes me to see, know, and understand who God really is. Look at somebody and say, let God do it. The Ephesian writer says, now, to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can even think or imagine, according to the power that works inside of us, and to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever. Let the church say amen. That's the meaning of this prayer. And I'm intentionally being quiet because when I don't talk, it allows the Holy Spirit to talk. And what I'm getting ready to show you, when the Spirit talks, he doesn't talk to your ear. I'm giving you this sermon. When the Spirit talks, he talks to your heart. And in order to be able to hear him, you need a hearing heart to perceive the things of God. The multitude hears with their ears, but only those that get alone with him and the Holy Spirit are able to hear with their heart and become good ground. If you got it, say, I got it. Here it is. I'm going to put you. I gave you the meat of the sermon. All right. So now I'm just going to run through the rest. If you get it, great. If not, you got the meat. Here it is. Verse 14. Here it is. Let's run through it. Verse 14. The sower sows the word of God. Here it is. If you don't know, this is important. The sower is Jesus Christ himself. That's who the sower is. And again, in my sophomoric preaching, I would stop there. The sower, get this, is also every preacher that preaches the word of God. That's why this morning I am dressed up like a gardener. Because I'm really not preaching. What I'm really doing is sowing seed. I wish I had a real church. A real church would get it. Here it is. Here it is. Here's something else. You stay with it. The sower is not only Jesus Christ. It's not only every preacher that preaches the word of God. Get this. The sower is every believer that shares the word of God as a witness to somebody else. Are you guys getting this? Jesus is a sower. As a pastor preacher, I'm a sower. And as a believer in God, you are a sower. But you're only a sower when what you share is the word of God. Get this, you're not a sower because you go to church. You can only sow, get this, when you get alone with God and you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of his word. Because it's only at that point that you have something to say. You telling your girlfriend what you think they ought to do is not sowing. That's you running your mouth unnecessarily. But when you tell them, you know what? I can't even imagine. But I read something last Thursday. In my private time with God. And it seems to me that is just what you need right now. And what I read was the parable of the sower out of the gospel, Mark 4. And allow me now just to share it with you. I'm not sharing my opinion. I'm not sharing what I would do. But I'm sharing what the word of God can do. And when you do that, you are a sower. If you got it, say, I got it. Here it is. Verse 15. All right, here it is. These are the ones that fell by the wayside with the word sown. They hear the word. Satan comes immediately and takes away that word. Get this. Here's the important part of the verse. That was sown in their hearts. It was not sown into their. This is in your Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. Your Bible said the word was sown into their hearts. The only way they can receive it is if their heart can hear. I'm tying this whole thing together. Either you're going to get it or you don't. Here it is. Get this. Get this. Here's the veiled meaning. Watch this. Seeds, natural seeds, go in the ground, natural ground. But the spiritual seed, the word of God, goes into the heart. You follow? He made a slight change in the story. Still the same story, but now he's not talking about a natural reference. He's now talking about a spiritual context. The word, which is spirit and life, goes not into the natural soil, but the spiritual soil of a man, his heart. Are you following me? Here it is. And this word, this heart, he characterized as wayside. The gospel message of how to enter the kingdom of God and receive salvation never penetrates this person's heart because it quickly disappears from the surface of their understanding because the enemy, Satan, snatches it away. They never get it. Watch this.
Goes in one ear,
comes out there. And as soon as it comes out, the enemy snatches it. Watch this. So you don't have a chance to try to. He's literally waiting and watching you. Watch this. Not after service, but during service. And he's willing to do anything to get the word of God from reaching your heart. And the moment he can distract you, and if you do get it, it won't be this Sunday. I'm going to snatch that word. Get that out of your hand. Because that word can end up being a sword against him. Are you with me? Here it is. I got to keep going. Here it is, 16 and 17. Likewise, the ones sown on stony ground, they hear the word, receive it with gladness, but they have no root in them. So they endure only for a time. And afterward, tribulation, persecution arises. Get this, for the words, and immediately they stumble. All right, here it is. This represents people who have an enthusiastic or emotional response, but yet it is a superficial response to the word of God. And they do this because their heart is hard, like stony ground. The word of God never takes root in this person's life, and the person's heart, therefore, is never changed. And when suffering or trials come because of the word of God, here it is, footnote, get this, footnote, if you're chosen of God, you will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3 and 12 says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Salvation is free, but discipleship is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you to live for Jesus. So get this. This suffering and persecution he's talking about. Here it is. Look, if you don't pay your water bill and they come and shut it off, you're not being persecuted for Christ's name. That's not you being persecuted for Christ's sake. That's you being persecuted because of your lack of responsibility. You use the water, you should pay for the water. You don't need to pray. You don't need to come and get in a prayer line. You don't need oil on your head. You need to stop spending your money however you're spending it. Reorganize it and pay for what you have used. That's not you being persecuted for Christ's sake. But you're persecuted for Christ's sake when you tell your friends, family, and coworkers, well, what I have come to do is what the word of God says. And the word of God says, when I get in this kind of situation, this is what I'm ought to do. And all your friends, family, go, oh my, shut up. I'm so sick of this, you and your Bible, you and this Jesus. If your Jesus was so good, you wouldn't be in this trouble. Now you're being persecuted for the word's sake. Because all you offered was what? The word of God, that what? That you got an understanding when you got what? Alone with God. And it started changing you. And because it changed you, you believe that if you share it with someone else, it can change them. But when you give it to them, they say, I don't want it. Watch this. Nor do I want you anymore. Now you're being persecuted for the word's sake. Are you with me? Here it is. I got to finish. Here, let's get on this thorny ground and get out of here. Now the ones that are among thorns, here it is. They hear the word. But the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in chokes out the word, And that seed becomes unfruitful. This represents people with a preoccupation with temporal issues of life. And it blinds them to any serious consideration of the Word of God. Not only can money and material possessions not satisfy the desires of the heart or bring any type of lasting happiness, they deceptively promise, but they also blind those who pursue them to the spiritual things of God. And what I'm hearing right now is exactly what I expected. First Timothy 6, 9, and 10 says this, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and they also fall into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root to all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now that's not your pastor. That's the Word of God there. You got to deal with that yourself. Jesus calls it the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. That means you're deceived into thinking if you get more, your life will be better. You know what comes with more money? More problems. That's the only thing you get with more money. Not more happiness, not more love, not more of anything simply means more problems of that thing. And the desire for other things. You know what the other things are? Anything that is not pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's what other things are. Anything you want, pursue, desire, it's not pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus calls it other things. And it is a sign that you are thorny ground. Anytime the Word of God comes, you want to grab it, but all of this other stuff overrides that. And here comes the enemy again, snatching it away. All right, we're finished. You hung in there. Here it is. Verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Here it is. Get this. This is the sermon. Here it is. Those who hear the word, accept the word, that means they believe it, and bear fruit, that means they obey the word. Here it is. They hear, they believe, and they do what the word of God says. And when they do it, get this, God begins to work in their ground. And where there was nothing, all of a sudden, fruit begins to come up in their ground. Not because of what they have done, but because of what the sower sowed and what they received into their ground. They began to produce fruit. Some 30. Some 60. And some others 100-fold. All because God is working in their ground. They have hearts that can hear, receive, and do the will of God. And God does the rest and produces. That's it. That's the end of it. It's a wrap. That's the parable of the sower and the seed. It's not about what the sower does. It's not about what the seed does. But it's about what God does in the human heart, the spirit of a man, that if he hears, believes, and obeys, results in a spiritual harvest unto God. Lord Jesus, give us hearing hearts so that we may lay hold to the mysteries of the kingdom of God, that we might also bear fruit in the kingdom of God. Some 30, others 60, and some 100-fold. We promise to take what we have heard today. And at some point this week, we're going to get alone with you in our private place, in our private time. We're going to commune with you. We're going to ask you, give us an understanding heart so that we can perceive the very things of God. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I go, I do want to give you an opportunity. If you never accepted Christ into your ground, if you've never opened your heart unto him, why not do it today while the sower is sowing seed into your ground? You can make a choice today that can change your life forever. And all you have to do is ask him, Lord, give me a hearing heart. I've listened to everyone else. I've listened to everything else. But this Sunday, I'm going to try Jesus Christ. And I know in order to hear what he's saying, I need a changed heart. I need a heart that can hear and a spirit that will obey. You can do that today, whether you're here in the sanctuary with us, whether you're home streaming in over the internet. Why don't you invite him in? Invite him into your ground. I promise you, he'll give you a hearing heart. And I promise you, in no time at all, you'll start to bear fruit in the kingdom of God. That's my prayer for you today. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his word find a resting place in your heart. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen. At this time, We're going to transition to our offering. We can gather to worship through our giving. This morning you can give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, and also by using the U.S. Postal Mail Service. To give by text message, text the code Taylor 61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to www.taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. And for those of us who are gathered together in the sanctuary, you will find two baskets by the side door, one for your tithes and offering, and the other to be a blessing to the preacher of the hour. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of this ministry. And at this time, I will bring back Deacon Todd McCoy to give you our announcements. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Come on. Okay. Amen. With our announcements, there are a few, which I want to cover. First is, you have to forgive me. I'm using the iPad here because we have a couple things. But on Monday, July 12th at 7:30 p.m., and that's Eastern Standard Time, there's going to be the next in the virtual seminar about the role of sports in combating racism and anti-Semitism, the history of Major League Baseball. And there are some speakers that are going to be speaking. I think the information in the email also. It should be posted so you can see it. So this is, again, it's a virtual meeting. You have to register, but it's on Monday, July 12th. If you need further information other than what's being displayed, you can always reach out to the church. Just call our number or send an email, and we'll get back to you with additional information. Amen. Next thing in the announcements I want to cover is it's Celeste Williams Scholarship time. Amen. And so this year, what we've been doing, is we understand we haven't had Sunday school for a while because of COVID, but what we're doing is we're asking you to submit, your child's report cards, and then, also we're asking for children, depending on their age, to answer one of two questions. And you have to forgive me because I've got different paperwork everywhere, and I sincerely apologize. But the first question, and here's the bad part. I put these questions together, and for some reason, I can't locate where I wrote them down. I'm sorry. The first question, and this goes for the children that are between first grade and fifth grade, is how did God help you get through the COVID crisis? That's for our young folks. Now, for those from sixth grade through 12th grade, it's why do you think God allowed the coronavirus to happen? How would you answer that question for yourself and for others? Amen? But what we're doing this year is a little different. We're not having our young folks type something up. Instead, what is going to be done is we're asking all the people to do a video with their answers to these questions. We really want it to be less than a minute. As a matter of fact, we need it to be less than a minute. Also, as far as the recording, Minister Curitan has said that we need to receive it in as small a file as possible. So there's going to be a follow-up email where we'll go through the details. But your camera settings and your phone, your tablet, et cetera, you're going to want to set it to the smallest possible in terms of frames per second so that that information can be sent in. Also in the email, we'll tell you where to email the videos along with the report cards, et cetera, to the church so that it can be received, so we can get that out. And I believe the deadline is the end of this week. Again, that information will also be in the email. And I'm really deferring you to that because we need to wrap up here today. So right now, I'm going to check and see if the pastor is ready. If they're still in there praying, we will be released in a moment. But for anyone who heard the sermon and it touched you in some kind of way, and you want further information, again, you can always look at the prayer tab, look at the other tabs on the church to reach out to the deacon or ministers, or you can always call the church at 215-748-4578. Amen? Amen. Well, they're having prayer in there, so I'm going to close this out given the hour. If we could all stand, we'll be dismissed. Christ Jesus, we thank you for the word we heard this morning. For every single person in this sanctuary and who watched online that was touched by your truth that was delivered this morning by the pastor, we thank you for blessing him with the ability to give your word to us, and we thank you for allowing us to hear it. Be with us throughout this day and this week, that word we heard will transform and renew our minds, that we would witness to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Be well. Have a good week, everybody. Amen.